This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina, starring Tom the Boss Bossmeyer and Caroline Atkinson, founder and artistic director of Ballet Academy of Arizona. This is exciting. I always love it when you're on the show.
Thank you, Dave. We love being on the show.
We want to start dancing. We're starting to love that tune.
You like that?
That's right. Yeah.
You've heard the Stray Cats.
Yeah. As long as we don't have to listen to Dave. Oh, yeah. Or whatever that thing is. That clip.
Tom, next break, play Dave. Okay. They play that.
We'd rather dance than not.
We're doing remotes at the State Fair every Wednesday and Friday for the whole time. And Tom surprised us with the Dave song, and we have this big speaker going out, and he was just trying to help me, I guess, recruit some people. Okay, see, we both do sort of recruiting.
There you go.
Okay, anyway, of course, in studio, we have special guest Christy Beauchamp from Preferred Therapy Providers, Inc., the vice president, who used to be a dancer.
Yes.
And do you miss that?
A lot.
But you still dance, I bet.
Yes.
You have a special dance?
I'm not sure I should disclose that.
Oh. All right, you had me at disclose that.
No, I do. My daughter is now dancing. She's on a teen company, and so I kind of live vicariously through her, and we dance, you know. If I break out into dance in the store, then she knows that she's on my short nerve, because that usually gets her running out the door.
You know, my cousin, one of my cousins from Los Angeles, was on a dance team that was on the – let's see, the Academy Awards and all over the world. Wow. And with a guy named Jeff Kutash. I don't know if you remember him, but he was very well known in a big dance group. Dance with Dean Martin as the opening in Las Vegas. I got to see that. And it was amazing. Some of these dancers, how do they do that? It's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
So you're like that, right?
I'd like to think so.
Wow. That is so cool. But it's good stuff. So anyway, Tom and the group here, the panel members, we want to talk about really how Caroline pulls the community together with these performances. And I'm going to even go beyond that. I think with her heart and soul, her compassion for really improving the quality of lives. And so who wants to jump in on that? How do you do that? How do you pull the community? Why the community is pulled together? Tom, you go first.
Okay. So
he'll never forgive me for that one. All right. Answer this then. Yeah, as you're thinking about the carriage. How did you get the carriage? This is like a riddle.
That's what you're really.
That,
okay.
That was amazing.
Somehow we'll tie this to the community, but the carriage was a major challenge on Thursday evening.
Well, describe what the carriage is.
The carriage is a wedding carriage, and it was used originally on the first Bachelor, whatever those shows are called on television, and it's been moved around the United States, maybe around the world. It's a beautiful wedding carriage, and it's got like 2,000 little tiny lights on it, and it's gorgeous. Well, again, I didn't do due diligence about whether this thing would fit into the theater, and so we had a little disagreement with lots of people at the Herberger who happened to work there that thought that this might be impossible to get this wonderful carriage in there. So long story short, every time they said no, I said, turn around and look at the kid in that wheelchair. And more kids would go by and go, ooh, it was on the back of a trailer outside at this point. And they kept saying no. And more of the moms and dads came onto my side of the the conversation. And with ingenuity on the part of the parents, and we were able to get that carriage in there. And I think brighten the lives of a lot of children for the next 2 days.
It was magic.
That taking no for an answer, which Caroline's daughter is in law school, and she was asking me, you know, they told you no about 10 times. And I said, well, you don't understand. And neither do they. This carriage is going in here.
Yes.
And it was just a matter of making it happen. But I want to tie that to, again, Dave, you mentioned we had three moms on here. I think 2 months ago, and I think it was Susie or Kathy or Carol, and it doesn't matter. The story's the same. You know, I may think that's a big accomplishment, or any of our day-to-day little challenges. We're like, boy, we got that done, whether it was in work or whether it was, you know, with a spouse, whatever the situation. But some of the hoops that the moms of the special needs have to jump through on a daily basis, again, any one of the three ladies could say this. It's like, hey, I've been through all these hoops. Where's the next one? You know. And when you raise these children, you've got to be a special mom. And it just put it in perspective. And I do some inspirational talking, too. But that said it all for me, because they live through challenges every day of their life, and a lot of them critical. This was only a carriage that we're talking about right now.
You know, it's interesting is that how people perceive obstacles in their life.
Right.
True.
And I think we talked about that with the moms. And it's sort of interesting to me that certain people out there are complaining about, you know, losing their three cars one of their three cars, and they still have the BMW and the Mercedes, but they have to give up, you know, the Rolls or something. And, you know, it's just, if you put things in perspective, it makes a difference, right? I mean, because true obstacles have to be what the moms are going through and the special needs kids, and not about certain things that really in the end are meaningless.
That's right.
Christy, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I do. We took a lot of things away from this experience, my daughter and I both. And I think what Caroline has done is kind of reinforced that disabled doesn't mean not able. doesn't mean you can't do something. You can do it to the extent that you can do it. And I have a friend that works with the Special Olympics, and excuse me, he said something so well, and I wish I could remember how he said it, but it really is true that we walked away. I feel like we got more from those kids than we could ever give back to them. Mm-hmm. And that's really the experience of this. More people should become involved and not be afraid to be involved and not be intimidated by it, because it was just, it's just very eye-opening and it's very humbling.
Yeah, there's no question. And Tom, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, how this is building communities. I mean, in many ways. I mean, you said, I mean, just getting the carriage on the, in the theater is a little mini picture of building community. Like, hey, we need to do this. Everyone got together trying to do this. But what other ways? I mean, just even before these performances start, I mean, people excited to get together. When you had the moms on and some of the kids on, even the show before, how they've developed great friendships. And I think this is really important, that friendships based on what friendship should be is non-judgmental, pure acceptance. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we tend to forget in our very challenging economy that we have out here right now what it's all about. And it's all about love. And you can wrap any words or practices around it you want, but when, as I tell people that are questioning all the time when they come to their first practice or whatever, I just basically say, just stay tuned. You'll be in with us, brother or sister, in just a matter of time. And they are, because it's love-based and it's brother and sister-based, and not, do you have the money, do you not have the money, are you old, are you young, what's your disability and all that. And we're rallying around what we think is the children, but all of us are saying, hey, this is doing an awful lot for me, for mm-hmm. my confidence, for lighting me up again, and for making me dance inside. And Caroline, you know, as I mentioned before, she's going to make this happen without me, without you, without this radio station, without all us volunteers. She has a passion and a vision to do this. And by God, we all are having a lot of fun doing it, and it's all based on love, you know.
So, Caroline, I mean, I would agree with Tom. And, of course, Tom's known you a lot longer than I have. However, all right, I wanted
and
to...
then some.
Yeah. All right, here's a surprise. He's not going to like this. Okay, just kidding. The truth is... oh, watch him. He's not laughing anymore. Yeah. Okay. The truth is it is remarkable, your passion. It's just so obvious. And it's so pure, too. And talk a little bit about that. I mean, I just, and maybe you don't recognize it in yourself, but, right, Christy? I mean, you can
absolutely see
the pureness. It's nothing more to me than to live out her passion, to help, serve, make sure these kids have a quality life.
Oh, yes. It's infectious. It's absolutely infectious.
Yeah.
We fell in love with her. We fell in love with all of this the first day.
Do you notice that in yourself?
No, not really, but I just know that the power these children have, and you can see it. I can see what their potential power is and then draw it out of them. Like Claire, who was our Cinderella, came to me about 10 days before and said, I can't do this. And I said, Claire, not only will you do this, but you are going to be magnificent. And she was... Excuse me. She was incredible.
Wow.
And Tom, who was Prince Charming, he was amazing. He has turned into a confident, fabulous, compassionate. He's always been compassionate and fabulous and confident. But now it's come out of him. And it's incredible what's happening with them. Yeah, with these kids.
Well, I think it's remarkable as you're talking about this. There's a power and a gentleness at the same time. Christy, do you see that?
Absolutely.
I mean, I was trying to picture, you know, someone that maybe have stage fright or whatever it is. And the way you just said that was really amazing. Not only will you do this, but you'll be magnificent, holding the space for greatness for people mm-hmm. and not letting it go, but not in an abrupt way, but in a very kind, loving, gentle way that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's
what
I noticed.
Oh, yeah, she connects with every single one of the kids that walks in the room. you can tell they're just there's just that connection, that immediate, that that love that they have.
Phenomenal. Wow. That is really...
They're amazing kids.
Yeah, and then when us adults let our guard down, our ego down, and jump in there, then the fun starts manifesting for us also.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the ladies really wanted to help sew, and she's, you know, sitting over in a corner. And some other ladies were over there sewing. And I said, aren't you supposed to be over there helping out? I turn around 5 minutes later, and she's laughing, and she's telling stories, and she's in the middle, and she just did wonderful things. But we've got to get our egos out of the way, get back to who we are, and we're all about love, and that's what, you know, is brought out through all of us with Caroline making sure it happens, or loving enough to make it happen.
That is incredible, and we're about to take a break. So, Christy Beauchamp, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you, Caroline,
you were great. Thank you very much.
And we're going to have another guest coming in, Judy Gates, coming in shortly, right after this break. So we'll be right back with the boss and the ballerina in about 2 minutes.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Boss and the Ballerina Show, starring Tom the Boss Bossmeyer and Caroline Atkinson, founder and artistic director of Ballet Academy of Arizona. It's just amazing to me. I mean, the gracefulness, the compassion. When I think of ballet or ballerina and then applying it to young kids that right. with special needs and typical kids, that's even more remarkable.
Oh, it's lovely because all the rules just go right out the window. And it's just so much fun. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And, of course, we now have another special guest. You have all the great guests.
I do.
And it's, of course, Judy Gates, an RN. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Wow, this is neat. And, of course, I think your son was part of a Cinderella play?
Yes, he was.
So tell us about that experience for you.
From the front to the back, it was just the most exciting, rewarding, exhausting and rewarding experience we've ever been through. It was just amazing, and I got more out of it than I had expected in every way. So I've spent years working with special needs kids before I had a special needs son, so I kind of figured I'd been through it all, but this was clearly something even more remarkable than I had ever dreamed of.
Now, how did your perspective change? You said you were working as an RN, right, a nurse,
mm-hmm.
With special needs kids, before your son was born. Did it change at all once you had your son and he became, you know, he was a special needs kid, or was it always similar?
I think there were some things that were very much the same because I already had good experience working with children with disabilities. So that part didn't really perplex me. I think I lived in denial for about 2.5 years. And then my car broke down, and I acknowledged I was in denial. these things all happened together. But I finally realized that at that point that what I hadn't grasped onto was the parent role for a special needs family. And while you can put some of the things in a box, learning how to really adapt to the needs of your son and realize that this is going to be a different life than you envisioned, but that doesn't mean it's a bad life. It's, I think, even more than I could have dreamed of, if you will. But I had to learn to become an advocate. I had to learn how to search through the system and find answers. We've had to delve really deeply into finding specialists that could work with his healthcare issues. And so I had little different challenges in that way that I just hadn't thought about from being a provider, but now as a parent, I had to walk into that role.
Now, as a RN, you must have had access to a lot of resources because I'm sure you had to tell the patients and, you know, people that came to you, you know, here's some support groups, here's a bunch of stuff. How has Caroline made a difference in your life and in your son's life?
Well, the minute my son met Caroline up at UCP, he came home and told me about Miss Carolina. And he called her Miss Carolina every time he'd talk about her with this little soft inflection in her voice. He just loved Miss Carolina. And I didn't actually meet her for, I think, probably 2 months. You were up at UCP doing classes up there in the summer program.
That's right.
And when I met her, I immediately fell in love with Miss Caroline. And, and I could see why not only my son but all the children have been so taken with her, because her spirit is so gentle and she moves so gently with the children. So she's amazing, and she inspires me in just so many ways.
Let me ask you a question, Judy. And I love Cody.
Yes. Yes.
And I got the opportunity to meet him during summer in that first class and all that.
Yeah.
So what a wonderful kid he is.
Thank you.
My question is, you know, all these nice things that you're saying about Caroline, the production, all that,
mm-hmm.
from a mom's perspective and out of the RN mm-hmm. role, what touched you, you know, deep inside from the very, beginning of practice until we all walked off that stage together,
People. We walked off that stage, people. I think probably for me, one of the most important and the thing that comes to me first is trust. I have my son in the care of many people over the course of a day and throughout the year, and you grow to trust them, but I immediately had trust for Caroline, not just because of the fact she was offering services, but because you could see the genuine compassion she has for these kids. And you just know that these children are safe and that she really genuinely has their best interest in mind. There's not another driving force. She's not going to get, you know, a big paycheck out of this, or she's not there to try and do anything other than just make them better. And I just think that that's enormous.
Yeah. And I agree. And did you feel that snowballing with other parents? Because we were talking about community.
Yeah.
And Dave was asking earlier about that. And at some point, it just, when we parents, typical or special, whatever, when we just let it down and let go and let it happen, I mean, I get to watch it a lot, and it's just like snowballs, and we all...
Yeah, you know, it was a really different type of experience because we weren't having just special needs kids. We weren't having just typical kids. But these were truly... a truly integrated experience. So not only did the children, the special needs children, get something wonderful, but the typical children mm-hmm. got something wonderful. And the way they responded to the children, I watched that over the course of the weeks of practice, and to see the way they would talk to them, and they would bend over and get on their level to look mm-hmm. at their eyes, and how they'd hold their hands or guide them. And in the same gentle fashion, I think they observed Caroline doing that.
You know, what's interesting is we need more role models in the world, mm-hmm. and I think that's what you're really describing with Caroline, and how Caroline passes it to both the special needs kids and the typical kids, and of course they'll get insights in the way they will get insights on that and model that, but what's interesting to me. Is a lot of people just have a job in life versus why you're here on earth. And I think this is Caroline here, is that it's not a job. This is her sole purpose. Now, how do I spell soul? It could be S-O-L-E and S-O-U-L, mm-hmm. sole purpose. And how do you, that's just amazing to me because you don't see many people really knowing why they're here on earth, mm-hmm. for how long it is mm-hmm. or short, it's, are you expressing your highest gifts and talent? Caroline, you have an incredible gift and talent you're passing on to others.
Thank you, Dave. I think that one of the things that is amazing and hard at the same time is you get to love the children mm-hmm. so much, and then they do go away, and you have to let them be and let them go. But that is very hard for me always, is to do that, because I just love to see them and to be with them. But part of that is then letting them fly.
Right.
And sometimes they have to fly away, and that is hard.
Yeah, that would be hard. It's sort of like the empty nest syndrome in life.
Yes,
in
with
life.
Every child you meet, it is.
It is exactly
it's just what
way.
It is, yeah.
Wow, that's challenging. Now, how do you, I know you want to really expand, right,
yes,
Caroline?
We would like to, because we want to reach more children.
Yeah, and, I mean, have you and Tom thought about how you would do that? You know, are you attracting people similar to you and Tom that have, first and foremost, just pure love and kindness and compassion? Is that hard to find?
No, because with moms like Judy, who have that same love, they're going to show us where to go now, because we need that guidance on how to reach people. And these moms are going to, they're leading the way for us.
And I would venture to say it's not just the existing moms, but when new people come in, mm-hmm. they're transformed. Like, do you remember the first time you saw Caroline or one of these performances?
Well, and actually this was my first experience, and I'll be honest, for a little while I was a little challenged to get the big vision because I only saw the little tiny part that Cody practiced, and so, but all of a sudden you see it come together in the big scenes and you're like, here's all these children. They're out there on the stage. They're having this marvelous time. And they're performing so well. And I know far and above whatever any parent probably expected them to do, whether they were typical or special needs. I just think we saw a lot of people really excel. So, you know, you're looking and you're amazed. And I had friends that I didn't even know were coming that contacted me after and said, I saw it on your Facebook, because I tell everybody everything on Facebook. And so I had it on Facebook, and they said, we saw it, so we bought tickets and came. And they said not only was it the best thing they had ever seen, but they will make sure everyone they know goes the next time it comes, because they were so changed by what they saw. It just, there wasn't anybody that walked out, I think, without having some impact from what they saw.
Yeah, I think so. Even the ushers in the theater were moved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of crying and laughing, and people were emotionally exhausted. Yeah. It was wonderful. Yeah.
And let me answer that question about the expansion. Because Judy, we're all the answer to the expansion. Mm-hmm. I'll give a shout out to Jennifer Spencer.
Yes.
With the Special Olympics, of which Judy's a part of.
Yes, and what a
Cody.
Wonderful young lady.
But it's organizations like the Special Olympics that are stepping up and saying, hey, we've got to collaborate. And we want to get together and collaborate in a real sense with an organization whose leadership has a heart, knows where they're going, we trust them, and we're moving in the right direction to pull everything in the community where, you know, it's applicable together. We want to be a community, and we need to be one now. And as we just had conversations the other day, the special needs moms in the community are a community, but a little bit more fragmented, you know, than they need to be. You sort of pass each other and give a wave, or I've seen you there. One more shout out, Caroline, you may want to, for the Phoenix Children's Hospital.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and Dr. Lee over there, he is amazing. He actually is one of the surgeons there. He's head of the pediatric unit at the hospital.
Yeah, I think he's chief of staff.
Yes,
actually.
He is. Yeah. And a lot of his children, he calls them, his patients were in the production. And he came down to see the shows, and they were sold out. So he didn't get to actually see it, but he did see the 15 News clip on that. And he has been amazingly supportive.
That is so nice.
Yes. So, yeah, big shout out to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it appears then it's not just transforming the lives of the special needs kids, the typical kids, the parents that actually show up, but it's the ones that it's starting to reach out in the medical community and beyond, and that's very transformational.
Well, and as Tom was just saying too, I think one of the things you said was fragmented, or they're kind of broken up, because what does tend to happen with families with children with disabilities is they're going to go to the group or the support area that matches their need. With a project like this, suddenly we're all at the table together. Mm-hmm. So it does pull, because, my shoes may be a little different style than your shoes, but my shoes and your shoes are probably walking pretty close together. And so now we're actually can come together, and while our children's needs may be different, they still have different needs than the rest of the community. So it allows us to really find other resources, to find other support, and just to find other companionship, people that understand our walk in life.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. This is going to sound interesting, and you don't have to answer it if it doesn't register. But this is what popped in my mind because of the great work that Caroline and Tom and all the moms are doing and the kids. Is how can this, what you're doing, Caroline, actually be the healing that the world needs in other areas? I mean, that popped in my mind because I think there is a connection there.
I think so. I think it's just the total love and acceptance of each other as people, at the spirit level, because the children don't see the bodies, they don't see the problems.
Exactly.
They
right.
only see what is good and what is pure.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's amazing because within even, you know, little Ella Forsyth, who is a little angel, she said to her mom going home in the car, her mom said to her, so what is the thing you like most about working with special needs children? And she said, Mom, we need to stop the labels because they are just my friends. And that is what they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember James being so tender. And James has his own, he has special needs of his own. And being so tender with another child with special needs. You know, her feet would slide off her chair. And he would go up and just put them straight back where they should be with such love.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing. Yeah. And pushing other people's chairs. And you knew that everyone was safe, even though sometimes they whizzed along. Yeah. Zooming around in a circle, there was no problem. No one was going to be hurt. It was so cool. They had each other's backs, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone was waiting there. If someone needed something, we were all there.
And that's what a community is all about.
Yeah.
It's not the words. It's not what's down in the process part of it. It's, you know, what do we need to do to help each other? It's time to step up.
Yeah. Well, I think when you look at the videotape, when we actually get to see it, and I'll watch it every day for probably about 3 years. at least once. that's what we saw these children doing on stage.
Yes.
They may not be sitting exactly where they were supposed to be for a second because they were over here helping someone or fixing someone's clothes or changing someone's ribbon or pushing up the mouse hat that had slipped off their head. I mean, all these kinds of things. It was like they run over, fix it, and come back. And it's very similar to what we see in Special Olympics. Thank you very much for that shout out again. But it's the same type of community we see at those events where kids of all abilities come together. And some may need help crossing the finish line, and others may be doing it on their own and leading the way as an example. This was one of those exact moments where we could help children who are going to grow up to be typical advocates in the community for their special companions. And the labels really, in a way, don't befriend us, but their roles, I think, could really be helpful to us in the future because these kids won't look at children with disabilities same way.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's interesting to me, too, is you know, how you can teach other parts of the community, and maybe this is something that you'll be doing, too, not just bringing people into the community, but going out into other communities and really maybe teaching people how you see people. I mean, obviously, you see people differently. Mm-hmm. For example, the world gets frustrated, you know, often, but it's the own standards that they are comparing with, you know. So if they, I mean, any conclusion, any evaluation is based on some standard that you're using, and it's usually unconscious and usually maybe not very appropriate. So when you see these kids, I bet frustration's never in your vocabulary.
No, it can't be. No.
That's interesting. How you, I mean, it's not even, it's non-existent in your mind.
Right. Because a child can't do anything wrong, you know, in terms of when they are creating and they're giving ideas and they're helping the whole process. They learn so much, and there's never a bad idea. We, like for our this production we're doing now, we met on Saturday for 2 hours. And the children sat in a circle on the carpet and just threw out ideas, what we should do, how we can decorate chairs, we're going to put sleighs on the wheelchairs, and how it's all going to be. And then all their ideas are put together, and that's how we do it, so that everybody feels equally part of what's going on.
Yeah, let me just comment on that. Caroline takes herself into a zone or into a special special place for her, and she didn't teach it to me. I got there myself, and it's a wonderful, I mean, when it's time for practice or it's time to do anything, I go there. I'm in this zone, and I don't talk about labeling or judging. I don't judge, so therefore I don't have a label for anything, just peace, love, and more of that. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, if you ever had a time in your life, whether it was a few months or raising a child or a marriage or with your mom, your dad, it doesn't matter. When you were in that zone, that's available to you. I don't know about wherever else, but it's available. While all these characters are running around on stage and we're chasing them and we're trying to change them and they're loving us and we're loving, that's back available. So if you lost it in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, or wherever, for me, it's like, hey, let's play.
So, you know, they talk about being in the zone with in sports. Mm-hmm. And I suspect the common denominator is being in the present moment, undistracted by anything in the world but what you're doing at hand, with major, you know, with amazing amount of compassion, like, and you said, Tom, love and kindness. That's, I believe, where the human beings, all of them, really want to be. But people are too worried about the future or too regretful about the past, and they forget about the present. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the present is the gift.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the moment. It's what's happening right now. So many of the men came up to me after the performance and said, I don't know what just happened. It was the most amazing thing. And I went to the practices, yeah. Judy, like you were saying, and how did we get from there to a standing ovation with 60 special needs children with wheelchairs flying and bodies flying all over that stage and the music and the back? How did we get there? I thought, I don't know.
But it happened.
It did happen. But it is about being in the moment and doing, serving pizza and cutting out and doing whatever it needs for all of us. It's so simple when you really think about it.
Well, and, you know, you take that into the community. How do you get the community to feel a comfort with that? Because I think when I've talked to people over the years, a lot of them are afraid because they've never been around anybody with a special need, or they don't know what they should do or how they should talk to them. I watch that all the time. They're afraid to say, I didn't understand you. Could you say that again? And you might have to say that a few times. The other thing is, you know, I think they're not sure how they could help. You know, what would I do if I'm not afraid of them, but, you know, I'm just me. I don't have any experience. Well, it doesn't take experience to hang out and direct kids to go right or left or stand right. or sit or, you know, no, you have to leave your cape on, your scene's coming next, those things. It just takes patience and truly the ability to just enjoy some time with some children.
That's right.
And it's just a great lot of fun.
Yeah, and in my case, my observation is it takes getting the fact that you give a little, but you'll get back a lot more. And we're not used to that. You know? It's like, what am I getting? No, just give a little and try and stop your tears.
Because
they're going to be all over the place. And your memories. And that's the one thing that Caroline does through the production, we all do, is create an experience.
Yeah.
Judy, you just said it. You're probably going to be watching that DVD, you know, every day or whatever. But you don't need it. It's in your heart and it's in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's in mine. And that's an experience that creates or keeps our belief system transforming. And, you know, it's back to love.
And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Tom, the boss, Boss Meyer. I sound like it's like a fight, right? And in this corner.
Stepping up.
And, of course, Carolyn Atkinson, founder and artistic director of Ballet Academy of Arizona, with special guest in studio, Judy Gates, a most proud parent for having her son in the Cinderella
production. Cody.
And we'll be right back.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again as Tom Boss, the Bossmeyer, is dancing in studio. I think we should have had Christy Beauchamp back in studio. She's a dancer. I wasn't sure what she meant when she said she can't say what type of dance. Can you guys tell me after the show? Or do you know?
Keep moving, Dave.
Okay. I'm not going to sleep until I find out. Okay. Anyway, and of course, we have Christine Atkinson in studio as the ballerina and the founder and artistic director.
He's all shook up over here now.
I am, like Elvis Presley. I'm all shook
all
up.
Shook up.
And, of course, we have special in-studio guest Judy Gates, a nurse and a son who was in the production of Cinderella. Now,
yes.
We were talking off the air about... With Judy, in fact, about how when you had your, you know, your son was born, mm-hmm. and I guess it was diagnosed of as a special needs kid, some people just sort of disappeared out of your life, right?
Yeah, we
talk about that. That's interesting.
It was a phenomenon I had never expected, and I've certainly never observed it anywhere in my past. But we actually have had people that, when they found out we had this son, we've never spoken to them again. They didn't call, they didn't come, they didn't talk to us. I mean, it was almost like a wide path cut when we would see them in our common places. So it was a very interesting thing, kind of took us aback because some of these were people we thought we knew very well. But at the same time, we had people who came up alongside us that we had never spoken to before. And it was the most wonderful thing because whether they themselves had an experience that was similar or they just had a passionate heart or compassionate heart, either one or both, for our family situation. They came along beside us. And so it was just really an interesting experience for us. And it gets back to that whole fear factor, I think, is a lot of it. They don't know what to do with it. And so it's easier if I don't look because then I don't have to figure out what to do with it.
So it's sort of like suppression and repression or something.
Yes.
Yeah. And we even found that in some of our, the parents, the typical children's parents who had originally signed up for Cinderella, when they came to practice, they couldn't come back. And it wasn't the children, it was the parents who took their children out of the production. They didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting. I tried to see it from their point of view, but they just didn't want their children to be involved in something like that. In fact, we had that happen on Saturday with a mom. Everyone was sitting on the carpet getting very involved, and she kept slipping her daughter notes. I think we need to get out of here. Mm. And they did leave. And it was sad because that child will grow up perhaps now with preconceived ideas. A pity.
But don't you think, too, I think, you know, we're in a world where people are very concerned about appearance.
Right.
And about the way things look, about maybe the way they look or what people will think if they're with somebody who does something strange, odd.
Right.
And so that's, I think, another factor that makes it very difficult for people to get involved. And yet, our children don't have anything contagious. And I don't believe that the things they do are anything that should cause anyone to feel a bit embarrassed or odd.
It's very odd.
I've seen some funnier things come off of the internet than I've seen any of our kids do. Those were by typical people. So,
that's right.
I mean, it's just, I think there's just a really, they just can't accept what that somebody might attach to them.
That's right.
Yeah, and that doesn't make them, you know, for whatever reason, right or wrong.
Right.
Otherwise, we become judging.
Yes.
Right.
Them.
No.
That's right.
But I like your comment, Judy, on the, and this may be another shout out, raising special kids.
Yeah.
You're a parent-to-parent volunteer, which is passing the word on, and we'll talk about, build on what you just talked about for new moms.
Well, I actually did. I worked with them for, I think, almost 8 years as a volunteer. And I got to meet two groups of people. Actually, it was very interesting. I met new parents. And so that was kind of neat to get to talk to them when they were still not sure what this meant for them or their family or where their resources were going to be. So to get to share with them and that they could also see someone like Cody who looked pretty good and had fun and a great, you know, great time moving around. And so it was a way to encourage them that even though this may have not been the life they planned, it doesn't mean it's a life unplanned. Mm-hmm. It just is a different path than they expected. And the other group I got to work with was physicians. I worked, I did several training sessions with dental students out in the East Valley at the college out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then with the residents over at John C. Lincoln with their medical program. And at Midwestern, I went and did some work up there. So that was fascinating to sit in there with rooms of these doctors listening to our stories. It was usually me and a couple other parents. And kind of talking to them about issues our kids had, things that they could do to make those experiences better, and let them just start fielding questions and realize, you know, this is quite doable. They might have to do something a little different, but they can still get the same outcome.
Yeah. You know, and that's just so powerful to get people peer-to-peer talking to people that have walk in the same sneakers,
so to speak.
But again, that's part of the vision of Ballet Academy of Arizona, is expanding the community, and that's part of it, is just being among our peers.
You know, I made a few notes, sort of backtracking a little bit about what you said, because that sort of took me by surprise where people would sort of walk away, you know, and out of fear. But, you know, what popped into my mind is if you think about it, not from a judgmental standpoint, but maybe an observation about certain people that might, like what you said, you know, one of the moms on Saturday, you know, left or wanted to leave or something. And, you know, I'm thinking that might be an indication of, you know, on an unconscious level, very weak and low self-esteem, what people think by association. And that's sort of a, unfortunately, there's a lot of cultural beliefs about that. And it's just amazing how much people actually miss out on enhancing their own lives rather than tying into maybe the beliefs that usually lead to pain.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's what it appears to me. So anyway, let's talk a little bit the last couple minutes of the show about the Family Holiday Festival, the holiday performance coming up on December 10th, I believe you said.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And at the North Phoenix Baptist Church. That is a huge church.
Huge church. We did, yeah.
So you're going to have one-act plays going on, The Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, Santa's Workshop.
That's right.
And it's for kids 3 to 17.
Yes, it is.
And is there still openings? It's limited, I think, to 55 performers, right?
That's right.
You still have some availability?
We do. So anyone listening out there, any moms, dads, or therapists, grandparents, if you have children you'd like to get involved with us, please call me, Caroline, at 602-502-2743. And we are looking for performers. This is going to be a dinner theater in the round, which will be a different experience for the children. With Cinderella being at the Herberger Theater, the audience is a little further from the children. But doing this kind of dinner theater, the audience will be right there. So it's going to be a more interactive and a whole different experience. So it's going to be wonderful. So
and there's going to be three acts, three different performances, Dave. So food, food, and food comes in between all three of these.
Italian food, Italian food, and Italian food. Now we're talking. So you're going to have three performances or three acts? Or three acts with three performances?
Three acts, exactly. Okay. Yes.
So one performance with three acts.
Three acts, exactly.
And what time does that start?
It starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on December 10th and goes till 4.
Oh.
And we have Santa's arriving with Mrs. Claus, so that is going to be exciting. And, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to be having tables of 10 people, so you can invite your whole family to kick off your holidays. If you're not going to be performing, please come and watch us.
Wow. Now, how many can
Or the Phoenix Suns cheerleaders team.
Now we're talking.
Yes.
Dave's the big sports.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
Breakthrough sports with Dave Isaac.
You've heard it on Wednesday and Friday. Yeah, that's interesting. So really, you got the cheerleaders?
That's up to you.
Okay, food cheerleaders, food cheerleaders. Okay, I'm weighing it. So 1 to 4, and how many does it hold? I mean, how many
We can have an audience of 250 people.
Oh, that's sort of
yes.
nice.
That's marvelous.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's going to be sold out easily.
Easily.
Oh, my
exactly.
gosh. Exactly. Oh, we'll need another performance on this
that's
one.
That's right.
Wow. So they now, when we say 55 performers, we don't want to scare anyone. It's just you don't have to be a professional performer.
Oh, no, not at all. You don't need to have ever performed before. We will get you into rehearsal and performing.
And what do you think, we have about 2 minutes left, I think. Describe the experience. We only have 1 minute left. Okay, we'll describe the experience next time in November. It will only be about 2 weeks before the show,
that's
right?
That's right.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
So again, contact information, Caroline and Tom?
Yes, Caroline at 602-502-2743. And also check out our website, balletacademyofarizona.org. And Tom?
I'm with you. LAacademyofarizona.org.
And thank you, Judy,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Judy Gates.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Caroline Atkinson.
Cody.
And thank you,
see
Tom,
you,
the boss, Bossmeyer. And we'll see you guys next month, fourth Monday, 2:30 to 4, with another amazing, really inspirational. This is a show about inspiration, motivation, and healing. And we'll see everyone tomorrow for the Green Roundtable and the Bottom Line. And we're out at the fair Wednesday and Friday, the State Fair, the sports show. Everyone have a great night. See you tomorrow.